Turning our Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, reading verses 4 and 5, and our message this morning is overcoming the world. I struggled with what message God wanted me to bring this morning most of the week, until late last night. And it was the impact of what the world had done to my heart as a result of what happened this past week in the Supreme Court. I let it get to me. And God taught me something about overcoming the world yesterday evening and last night that I need to share today. And I've got nothing in this message that is new, but I can tell you something. If you'll follow us as we preach this message, rather than to be down and out about how the world does things and what's happened to our great nation this week, I think you'll go out of here lifted up because of what God does for us and what the Lord Jesus means to us. 1 John chapter 5, verses 4 and 5. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? You know, John had a real unique knack for stating things real simply, and yet when he was stating them simply like he does here, he had a knack for packing an enormous amount of material information and meaning into the words that he wrote. This is one of those cases right here that we see that it is literally chock full of ramifications, of connotations about the Word of God and about the promises of God and about the power of God and about the life of the believer. In this portion of the Scripture, he writes the simple truth that those who are born of God overcome the world. On the face of this statement, it looks like it's a real simple statement. I hate to be, and that's it. He that believes in God, believes in Christ, he that is born of God, overcomes the world. But thinking about what he said here and connecting the rest of his statement with what he said at the start, the words altogether convey one of the most significant statements in the Bible for people of God who are trying to make their way through this wicked, sin-cursed world that is dominated, brothers and sisters, dominated by the evil doings of unbelieving humanity. That is what we have to confront every day of our lives. And this portion of the Word of God has such a significant message to us as we know this is what we have to do. Now, Jesus told us in Luke chapter 16 and verse 8, that the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And the statement appears like, on the face of it, it appears to be a contradiction in what we know as a spiritual reality, namely that all wisdom that is meaningful comes from God. And we, as God's people, as the children of light, as he puts it there in Luke 16, 8, we have access to that wisdom of God if we seek to know it. But when we examine his statement there in that portion of the Scripture, when we look at it carefully, we realize that the Lord Jesus is simply saying that when the children of Mammon, the children of the world, move through the world, they have a kind of natural affinity for worldly wisdom, and they have an intuition about that wisdom, and they have, importantly here, a willingness and a readiness to use that worldly, man-wise wisdom. That's what he's talking about there in Luke 16:8. On the other hand, the large people, having the wisdom of God and knowing the distinction between the one and the other, between the wisdom of God and the so-called wisdom of the brain of man, knowing the two and knowing the difference, the children of light that walk through this world realize that following the wisdom of the world does not fit with what the Lord directs and guides. Now, because they know the difference, and because they are led by faith to make a difference between man wisdom, human wisdom, and God wisdom, they will, when they are following the Spirit, reject the man wisdom and accept the Lord's wisdom and try to follow that wisdom. Now, in doing that, they make decisions that look to the world like they're absolutely stupid. If you have a chance to make $1 million simply by tweaking the way you say something or do something so that it is only a half-truth, you find that the children of the world rarely have any compunction about doing it. They'll do it and make their million and consider themselves smart because they slicked somebody. But children of God, when they're confronted with choices like that, will say, and the Spirit will say, now here's the right way. Walk in that way. And those who are following the Spirit will say, yeah, that's the right way to do it. And they follow it to their loss. That's what Jesus was talking about. It's exactly what He's talking about. And I wanted to bring this teaching of Jesus out because it is an illustration to show a simple way that Scripture means what it says when it says that those who are born of God overcome the world. Now if you think I'm being too simplistic, look at the illustration again. One person will tweak the things of the world any way he has to gain, even at the cost of his conscience. But children of light have another guiding force, and they'll select the right way when they're following the Spirit and cause themselves lost. And that's a perfect illustration of what it means to overcome the world. It's just one illustration, one example. There are literally thousands of such things that happen in the lives of men in which a distinction is made by children of God that is not made by the children of the world. Now, this overcoming is summarized by John in the last sentence of verse 4. Look at it again and see what he says. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That is the summary from John. So that's going to be our subject this morning. And what I want us to look at is really two parts, but they'll be kind of lumped together. I want us to look at what is there out here to overcome. And connected with that, what is meant by faith overcoming the world. And we're going to use some examples right out of Scripture to try to point out what I believe that the Lord's talking about here in our text verses. Turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and let's look at this old chapter, some of the verses out of this old chapter about the faithful, about those who had faith. And let me clarify to you right now that, again, faith, many times used in the Bible, is not talking about just having had saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, having experienced converting faith. That's part of faith. But faith is also a set of doctrine that guides one's life. So I'm talking about both aspects of faith this morning, and so is Scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Because this is all about the life experiences of the faithful of God and how they used faith to overcome the world. Now let's look at this portion of the Word of God, and let's think about what is there to overcome in the world, and what is meant by faith overcoming the world. My first example is verse 2. But let's read verse 1 connect with that. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the first premise. And that really is, again, a real concise summary of the difference in behavior between people who follow the world and the world's wisdom and people who follow God and God's wisdom. Because the only thing that you have to substantiate that you're doing the right thing when you do something that costs you in this world and something that looks totally contradictory to the wisdom of the world, the only substance that you have is, well, I believe God. I have faith in Him. And this is the direction He has pointed me in. Regardless of what seemingly is a cost to me and what seemingly is a contradiction as to the way the world would recommend it be done. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2 gives us the first example of what there is in the world to overcome. For by it, by faith, the elders obtained a good report. You might say, Brother Myers, I'm kind of offline now because I don't understand how you're pointing to that verse to tell me what it is that I, in this world, in overcoming the world, what aspect of the world is revealed there that we need to overcome. I'm going to tell you what it is. It's the obverse of that verse, and it is, we have to overcome a bad reputation. The tendency to gain a bad reputation. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. Well, what's the opposite of a good report? And for you that don't follow the old Greek there, that good report means got a record for having a good reputation. Okay? That's what that means. By faith, the elders got a record about their lives that declared that they had a good reputation. So what have we got to overcome, and what is it? How is it faith will help us overcome it? We need to overcome the inclination as plain old human creatures, the inclination to gain or get a bad reputation. And faith enables us to do that. You know, you as children of God have every opportunity in the world to build a reputation in your community where people say, hey, you don't want to have nothing to do with him or her, because all they'll do is do this and do that and do the other. You don't want to have nothing to do with them because they go to church every Sunday, but they live like the devil in the week. You can get a reputation like that. And it is faith that helps you overcome the human tendency to end up with a bad grade card. That's faith at work. Let's look at verse 3. Through faith, we understand that the world were framed by the Word of God so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Now you may ask, how are you going to use that to point to something that we need to overcome in this world? How about that we as God's people need to overcome the tendency, listen to me, the tendency to fall for, buy into, and be deceived by human intellectualism and human-founded wisdom. You know, sometimes being smart can get you in trouble. And you know what God's people that may have a mental edge on other of God's people and even on a lot of people in the world are at risk of being tricked into believing intellectual philosophy that defies and denies the things of God. And we need to overcome that tendency to walk off into that kind of ungodliness and disobedience to God. So what we need is to overcome the aura of intellectualism that's presented by the world. Everybody nowadays is just, oh, so smart. The reason we have so much trouble with our government today is everybody up there is just so smart. They all went to Harvard and they all went to, you know, these high class schools, and they have these degrees that say that they're brilliant, that they're geniuses. You know, it defies man's ability to think, to realize that the geniuses of the world turn out to be the stupidest people around, because God intends to bring to nothing the wisdom of the wise, and He does it again and again and again and again. But even God's people have this tendency to be bought off into the idea that there's something glorious about intellectualism. And we need to overcome that. How can we do that? By faith. And you might say, well, how'd you get that out of this verse? This is the presentation of evolution here in this verse. The first germ of the presentation of evolution in this verse that I just read you. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. That is the big central conflict between theism and theistic creation and evolution that is all the rage today among the philosophically intellectual people of our planet. And we need to overcome that tendency to degrade to that place. And faith helps us to overcome that facet of the world. Let's go on to verse 4. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Here we find something that we need to overcome, and it lies, the seed of the revelation about it, lies in what God said here about the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's offering. We sometimes imagine, and I know we've been taught that perhaps, that Cain's sacrifice was evil, bad, not worth anything. That isn't what this verse says. And in what it does say, gives us the key to what we need to overcome by faith. And what it says is this: by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Not one that was excellent while Cain's was debased, but a more excellent sacrifice than Abel. So what does that teach us about what we as God's people need to overcome? It teaches us that we need to overcome mediocrity in service and worship of God. Brothers and sisters, we need to overcome that, because there is this tendency to degrade to the lowest common denominator in everything that we as humans do. So we made $1,000 this week. But hey, I'm tight for money. So look, God will be understand if I give $50 instead of my tithe. That's mediocrity in service. That's an offering of Cain. It's not rejected of God totally. It's that it is insufficient because of quality. We say, oh, well, hey, I tell you what. You know, we're real busy today. And besides that, we got company coming over. We got to get ready to have them here for company. So let's not go to Sunday school today. We'll go to preaching. That's mediocrity in service to God. It really is. And this is the thing that we need to overcome. How can I overcome this mediocrity, this Cainish kind of offering to God in my service and in my worship? I can overcome it by faith. And I won't overcome it without faith. You see the necessity of faith, a growing faith, an increasing faith, a stable faith. We need that because there are so many things of this world that we have to overcome. The world sometimes accepts mediocrity. And I'm beginning to wonder, in America, if mediocrity hasn't become the standard. In fact, the deceivers have infiltrated our public schools with the idea that mediocrity is superlative. Oh, you lost the ball game. Your team lost, but y'all get a trophy anyway. Yeah. That's it. We give everybody, we give losers a trophy. We won't call it a loser's trophy. We'll call it whatever, second place. You lost the game. You lost the spelling bee, but hey, rather than make you feel bad, we'll give you a trophy anyway. We'll say, as a contender in the spelling bee. And it'll look just like the one that won the spelling bee. It'll be a big, beautiful trophy. Nobody'll be able to tell the difference. I'll go up and read and see what it was for. That is mediocrity being put forward as the standard. And God's people are inclined to unconsciously set the same standard for themselves in service and worship to God. And that is what we need to overcome, brothers and sisters. And that's what John's talking about. That by the, what is that which overcomes the world? Even our faith. Oh, how we need faith to be overcomers concerning these things of the world. Let's look at verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Everybody says, whoa! Why that great Enoch was translated? And we understand the way the Hebrew and the Greek is written about this, that he didn't see death. He was literally taken out of the world without seeing death. Wow! What a move by the Lord! That's great. But you know what's a greater testimony about Enoch than that right there? He had this testimony. God says, for all of that being translated, this is what's important to me. He had this testimony that he pleased me. And how does that translate into what we need to overcome in the world? We need to overcome the tendency to so conduct ourselves that we are displeasing to God. That's what we need, brothers and sisters. You know, there are so many things and ways that God's people can act and act out with their lives that it doesn't take but a split second to displease God with the way we do things. We need to overcome that. We need to get beyond that and above that. We need to take control of our conduct. But how in the world can we do that? By faith. I don't do anything pleasing to God unless it is operated within the realm of faith. You love to quote this, Brother James. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. And so, we need to overcome the tendency as human beings to conduct ourselves in a way which is displeasing to God. That's what Enoch teaches us. Exactly. He overcame and was translated because he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's look at verse 7 now. We're going to move right on through. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his house by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. What is it that we need to overcome that could be represented by what would be the opposite side of the coin about Noah? It is that we need to overcome unbelief. And this is not in the sense of overcoming unbelief and not trusting Christ for our salvation. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about the day-by-day unbelief that snatches us away from not serving the Lord God, from not walking according to the will and pleasure of God, from not trusting that what God said He'll do. That's the kind of overcoming from unbelief or of unbelief that we need. We need to overcome the kind of unbelief that leaves us distrusting God with our daily lives. That's what we need to overcome. And how can we do that? Faith enables us to overcome the unbelief. Unbelief is of the world. It's not of God. And then verse 7 teaches us something else. It teaches us that we need to overcome the failure, the lack of industry in our service to God. We need to overcome the lack of industry in service to God. Notice how Noah was inspired, provoked by God's message to him. God promised the destruction of the earth. And Noah, our Scripture tells us, was moved with fear and went to work for 120 years building a big boat. That's industry. How'd you like to saw lumber and hammer wooden pegs and baste on asphalt for 120 years and build interior partitions and all of that must have gone on in the building of this ark for 120 years. Do you think you could handle that? Don't know. If we lived 120 plus years, God could give us grace and would and did for Noah. But what I'm pointing out is that we need to be overcomers. We need to overcome the lack of industry in our service to God. I'm telling you, this is a big one for the people of God, because everywhere God's people have gotten the notion that the extent of service to Him is to make sure you warm your spot in the pew on Sunday morning and maybe Sunday night. And that's pretty much all the service that you need to give. But brothers and sisters, that's not it. We as God's people ought to be looking for ways during our work week to do something for the Lord. That service, day in and day out. Build that ark for 120 years. Be industrious for the Lord. We need to overcome the lack of industry. And how can we do that? We overcome by our faith. Without it, we won't be industrious. Let's read verse 8. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out unto a place which he should after receive an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. What does verse 8 tell us about what we need to overcome? It says, by faith Abraham was able to do something. Something that God took note of. And that something was to go out into a country and live as a temporary dweller. Live as a sojourner in that land. Now Abraham had to pick up his family, his livestock, his tent, all the appurtenances. You know, it'd be like going down there and renting a big U-Haul and going to the house and loading all your furniture on it and all your outdoor equipment and getting all your cars in line and going off from here, you got to drive all the way to the northwest because God told you to. What does that symbolize, brothers and sisters, that we need to be overcomers about? I think you know. It symbolizes overcoming the tendency to be influenced by convenience and status quo. We have such an awful tendency to love status quo. We don't want things to change. It's natural. It's normal. But hey, what about when God asks us to put ourselves out for Him? Do we grumble and mumble and moan and try to find a way out? Or do we do it because God has given us the responsibility of it and laid the burden upon us, given us the opportunity to do something like that? And how you handle that determines whether you've overcome this tendency to be influenced by convenience. I'd rather sit here in my cool house and relax and I worked all day. I'm tired and I don't really think I need to be going and doing that. If I hadn't worked today, I'd be glad to get involved in that. But hey, I'm tired. I want to sit here in my recliner and rest. That's Abraham staying back to the Ur of the Chaldees with his family and refusing to pack up and go to an unknown land because God led him to do it. And we need to overcome that tendency to complacency and convenience. Verse 9 teaches us the same thing, and I'm going to skip that. Now, for time's sake, we're going to look at one more in verses 24 and 25. And you can read all of these by faith, thus and thus happened, such and such one did this and that. But I'm just highlighting. And so let's go to verses 24 and 25 and pick our last one. This one is one that I really feel like we needed to get for today. This hits home in modern day times. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. What do we find here in verses 24 and 25 that points us to what it was that God commended Moses for? What was it Moses overcame by faith that God commended? Moses overcame this thing of beating out, becoming a victor over his tendency, his allure, and his temptation of what the world had to offer in Egypt. Do we ever get tempted to go along with the world because, hey, there's advantage here. I can have this and I can have that. And if I just work and follow after the way of the world, I can get things all going my way. I'll be eating rainbow stew for the rest of my life if I'll just follow the world. Moses had that opportunity. But by faith, Moses said, no, I will not side with Pharaoh. No, I will not rest in ease on a cushion in Pharaoh's castle and end up being the ruler of the kingdom or something else. I will not follow the ungodly and the idolatrous ways of the land of Egypt. I will suffer affliction with the people of God. I'll identify myself with them. How did Moses do that? By faith. So how is it we overcome this, you know, this gnawing tendency to just go along with the world? You know, don't stir the waters. Don't stir things up. And hey, take advantage of every opportunity to get a little here and get a little there. Gain a little here and gain a little there. Use those worldly techniques to get all that, have all that, and do all that, ignoring God. How do we overcome that tendency which is in every one of us? Faith. That is overcoming the world. And there's never been a more opportune time in all of history for people to get rich and famous by doing evil than today. I mean, every day there's a new story of somebody that's been caught with their hand in the cookie jar doing something to make themselves millions, get fame and fortune, and doing it illegally. Every day we hear of it. And so the opportunities are there in multitudes. How do we overcome the temptation to go along in that direction? Faith. Faith. So John tells us, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. If you reject the things of the world and walk with God, it'll be faith that enables. If you give up opportunity for yourself in order to be just and principled before God, it'll be faith that gives you the strength to do it. If you walk righteously in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation and gain a reputation for being upright, honest, truthful, straightforward, it'll be by faith that you'll get such a report about your reputation. It is by faith that we overcome the world. May God help us to say, Lord, increase my faith.